Welcome to the Dr. Denise Show with your host, Dr. Denise McDermott.
I'm an adult and child integrative psychiatrist, passionate about changing the way we think, talk, and act about mental health.
And Emmy Award-winning anchor, Kathy O'Toole.
Using my years in local news to keep you connected, we'll stay sane in an insane world.
On this show, I will have pioneers, scientists, doctors, athletes, and important discussions about all things to do with multidimensional healing, positive mindset, and holistic health.
Welcome to the Dr. Denise podcast. I'm Kathleen O'Toole, and Dr. Denise has just come back from India, where she had an amazing professional appearance at the Body Mind Life Institute. Hi, Dr. Denise.
Hi, how are you?
Great. So you had, we talked in the previous podcast about the, just how wonderful, and you won the universe lottery by getting to speak, in this really multicultural, forum about children's health. But you also did some other work there, if you will, while you were in India. Tell us about what you did after the conference.
Okay. So a couple things with absolute gratitude. I had the amazing ability to be with Lama Tenzin Shigal the entire trip. My Dharma brother, he's a Buddhist monk. He rescued children in the Dolpo region right in between India and Tibet since 2001. And it's called an orphanage, the CED house. Mm-hmm. However, really, it's almost like he's the father, and he's got lovely maternal support system at this incredible orphanage in Dehradun, India. So Lama Tenzin, he was so funny. He's like, I'm going to be your bodyguard in India because people will not mess with a monk.
And he's a rogue monk, a renegade monk, I've learned in the past.
Renegade kindness, compassion. He's a renegade compassion and action. He's a renegade CIA monk. So he says it how it is. You know, His Holiness talks about these concepts. Lama Tenzin lives it. And so he is my absolute, I highly regard him. He's got the most funny, incredible sense of humor. So while I was at the Body Mind Life Conference in Dharamshala, which we just spoke about, he was with me. So every day I had breakfast. He kind of gave me feedback. He said, oh my gosh, because he gets bored easily in those talks too.
Uh-huh. He'd be like me.
He gave me the thumbs up. And so not only did I have that incredible conference, but before I went to Dehradun to see the children at the CED house with Lama, Lama helps organize events with the Oracle of Tibet. And mm-hmm. The Oracle of Tibet helps with the Dalai Lama channeling information and ideas and levels of awareness. And I want to say, when I was in India, if you look at all my pictures, I'll have to post a couple. Everyone's like, you look so happy. And one of the reasons why I look so happy is I felt like I was out of the closet, so to speak. And I'm going to say out of the closet with my spirituality.
Okay.
So
because I was confused.
No, I'm out of the closet with my spirituality, which means I felt more comfortable because the Eastern view.
Yeah.
Oh, how about this? Out of the closet with my belief in immortality. Okay. So immortality is something that I integrate, that concept and energies of influence, in all the work I do, the work I did in India, the work I do right now. In fact, I was connecting with you when you asked me about, we're going to start talking about the children at Lama's orphanage. I was just thinking, well, Kathleen, you just got back from a weekend with children and camping, right?
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? I mean, the world is a small place, and we think our cultures are so much different. But you know what these kids want to do is take off their shoes and run around in the dirt.
Yeah.
So you know what? That's what every child, if they're fortunate enough to be able to have a light heart, that's what they want to do.
Yes. So the essence of my trip was feeling like I could be myself. In fact, you're not going to believe this. Before we go to the children's stuff and connect on that, when I met in the private forum with the Oracle of Tibet, I was actually at the Oracle of Tibet's home. Mm-hmm. And he first asked myself and Lama, and then we had one other beautiful woman I met from Germany, beautiful, her soul so beautiful. She's a pediatric nurse. We were in the room with the Oracle of Tibet, and he said, do you guys have any questions? And before I was going to ask him about his channeling and his ability to connect in other dimensions. Before I could ask, he's like, well, I have a question for you, Dr. Denise.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And so the Oracle Tibet asked me about autism and mental health.
Wow.
Yes. Because because in a cultural standpoint, when there's children that have either mental health or medical things that no one can figure out, they bring them to the Oracle. So I had to explain to the best that I could, and he understand most of it because then Lama Tenzin Shigal would translate. So another Buddhist monk had just asked me that 10 minutes before, this other monk called Karma. And so I told them about my sister, who's a speech pathologist. I also explained that I believe from a mental health standpoint that the souls being born on the planet are vibrating at a different frequency and that Earth is a tough place for them. And you know what? Karma, the initial monk that I met right before I met with the Oracle Tibet, completely goes, wow. He was blown away that a Westerner would think that way because that's how they view a lot of people with either anxiety or if someone has schizophrenia, they do things to help someone that's afraid get the right nutrition, but almost use gifts that they might be channeling from another dimension. So they don't look at things from a disorder. They look at it, how can we reorder? And that's how I look at things too. Like, even though I have to, as a Western doctor, of course, I love science. I'm so grateful to be in the U.S. I'm so happy to be an MD. So I know that we have to kind of clinically say major depressive disorder, schizophrenia.
There's that anxiety. Big book with the numbers that you have to like get a title and a number, right?
You mean the code for the insurance.
Uh-huh.
But we know that all neurostyles, and I'm going to keep saying the word neurostyle as much as I can for the universe to hear, because this transcends our species even. Neurostyle, that we all process and perceive information in our own unique way. And so when I talked to the Oracle of Tibet, I bridged my knowledge of the universe, which I feel like we all have this unseen energy, which you could say soul, which is connected to oversoul, which is connected to source. And then we have our earth understanding of the material things that we can see, think, and feel, like our MRI studies, the data that we can do. In fact, my talk that I gave in Dharamshala, I showed an MRI study. And actually, one of the biggest take-home points that I didn't make on the last show is that, well, I did when I talked about levels of awareness, but I said meditation is mind medicine. And so when I was talking with the Oracle of Tibet, I told him what the treatment plan would be if someone was having language issues, rigidity, kind of the flapping, having difficulties transitioning. And I explained that not all children on the autism spectrum present the same way, right?
Right.
And so I gave him an absolute answer of like my sister, a speech pathologist, what a psychiatrist would do, what school would do. And I think he was like, whoa. And so I gave him my card with my phone number. and then
hit my digits, Oracle. I said, hit me up, Oracle. Hit my digits.
Seriously. Seriously. Dr. Denise and the Oracle of Tibet on Skype. Not a problem.
Right.
So because I'm so fascinated of the kind of me being out of the closet, the immortality factor and the soul discussion. And that's my passion of describing that. So this is probably a good place to segue into children. Okay. Because I love what you said about children playing. I believe that our children, when they're babies, when they're toddlers, they're the most pure and they're not as influenced by the world of people being unkind or seeing color or racial difference. Right.
Right.
And so when I was with Mama Tenzin's group, by the way, at the house right now at his house, the CED house in Dehradun, there's 31 children, ages 20 months old up to age 23.
Wow.
And speaking of playing, one of the biggest ways I connected with them is I played badminton with them.
I'm looking through your pictures. I saw. And then you went swimming.
Yeah. Can we talk about that? You're not going to like that.
Of course.
Unbelievable. I've been talking about levels of awareness. Right when I was packing my suitcase, this is where instead of being like frightened, I was in an open place of awareness. I kept getting a message and it happened three times. And that's a sign that it's a real sign I have to listen to.
Okay.
It was, pack your swimsuit and goggles, pack your swimsuit and goggles, pack your swimsuit and goggles. You're teaching the kids how to swim. And so I hadn't even had a discussion with Lama about this. I didn't know that 4 months ago they got a pool installed. I had no idea. I just got this message from higher power. You're teaching the kids how to swim. And so when I told Lama that, his eyes lit up because he knows he and I have, like, by the way, with humility, I don't want to give too much power to, we all have this ability. He was like excited that I had gotten that message. And so one of the biggest ways, by the way, I love those children. I'll do another article where I post, in fact, I'll link a picture of me with the kids with swimming on that boat.
I'm looking through the pictures as you're talking. They're just amazing.
And you know, Dia, one of my dear friends that, really is like an angel in disguise behind the scene waiting for you and I and other people to do television. She said to me, Denise, you always, like when you're in America, a lot of times when you do pictures, your chin's down. And she's like, your chin was up. You were smiling. And it doesn't mean I'm not happy here in America. I just felt free and liberated in India. Like I could discuss immortality. It's the way they rolled. It's the way their mindset was. I felt so happy. And I felt so happy playing with the children.
The pool with like, it's a small pool for Western standards, at least from what I can see. But there's like a dozen of them in there with you.
Oh, and you're not going to believe this.
Okay.
It was an unchlorinated pool in India.
Good times.
Oh, yeah. And so I looked at Lama and I said, Lama, where did this water come from? And he said, it's natural spring water. It's going to be great. And I'm thinking, oh no, where is this water? Am I going to, like, Denise, you have an almost 10-year-old. Are you going to get dysentery? Like, will you, like, are you close enough to going back to America? If you get super sick, you can just make it back.
And what happened, Dr. Denise? How did it work out for you?
Well, the swimming was fantastic. The kids learned so fast. In fact, there was a little whirlpool where one of the girls who's in a wheelchair who had never tried to walk on her own because she's afraid.
Uh-huh.
She was trying to walk, which was so fantastic. So
in the whirlpool?
Yes.
Oh.
With Mama. It was so special. I have a video of it. She lights up. Her soul lights up the universe. In fact, she's the one who had lived in a barn for the first 6 years of her life. Because her dad thought that she had a curse, that it was karmically, like she did something so bad in another lifetime. And because she had deformed feet and cerebral palsy, she was living in the barn with the barn animals with a little bowl of rice for the first 6 years of her life.
I remember that story. And the mother, because when you had a fundraiser for your Compassion in Action event, and Lama Tenzin told the story, it was just amazing because the mother was breaking the rules of the patriarchal house, and she was bringing food to this child, and apparently maybe she wasn't supposed to. That's what my memory is serving me.
You're completely right on.
And she's so like, this is my child. Mama. Yeah. It's hard for us to understand from a different culture, but this is a mindset, you know, that other cultures and not just this one has.
So I need to just really, I want to, with grace and humility, honor my Dharma brother, Lama Tenzin Shigal. In fact, I'm probably going to cry because they're tears of joy. That man is doing something. He is going against cultural norms. He represents humanitarian efforts. He's been rewarded through the Jewel of India and all kinds of awards, but he doesn't even have time to accept a lot of the awards. They just mail them to him because he's in there in the jacuzzi or in the whirlpool teaching someone how to do it. He's there showing the kids. And I'm just going to tell you, because I know from a time standpoint, I immersed myself in the orphanage. In fact, next time I go, I'm not even going to get a hotel room because it was like a waste of time because I wanted to be with the kids so much and I was with them. Like I went with him in the bus. We were singing songs together. Lama said they love me so much. He wanted me to get out and pick them up from school like a mother would. You would not believe the joy these children had. Like I can't even, and they gave me so much joy because their love's so pure. And then you're not going to believe this. Five of them are getting MBAs. Two of them are in law school. And when Lama leaves, they hold down the fort. And I wanted Lama to even get more on the map because he has bigger, next vision is helping the blind and helping the deaf. He's got a piece of land. He's raising money. And so on the last day I was in India, myself and the travel agent got this videographer. So we interviewed each child in their school interview. They said their name, their age, what village they were from up in Dolpo, what school they're doing, and how they want to give back to the world.
Wow. I see the school where many of the children go. I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, this is really, this is life changing.
That's, that's the graduate school. So he raises 95% of his funds from the West because he's so proud of the West that they're so culturally open-minded. And so he doesn't disrespect his culture. He just knows that things need to be different. And so he's raising future humanitarians that are supposed to go back to their villages and do great things in the world. And so this is, to me, like, how could I not have won the Beyond Universe lottery? So not only did I talk about nurturing children's mental health, I got to see Llama take children that were in villages with no electricity, no hygiene, no tampons, barely making it in this world, going from that environment with permission from their parents, which they get to visit once or twice a year, to thriving in this environment. And the baby, the 20-month-old, she would have been left in like a garbage. I mean, I want to actually make sure we edit this, Randall. The 20-month-old's parents just didn't want her. We'll just leave it at that. And Llama went ahead and rescued this beautiful baby. So his heart energy, he's walking the walk. He's doing this. This transcends time. It transcends Ascended Masters. And by the way, Llama doesn't even want the credit. So now I'm going to just stop talking about him, because he would be like, okay, Denise, enough. Right. Like, he's just being a good human, and he wants to change things for humanity. And we'll talk about that, women and humanity. And he also has boys at the orphanage, and there's going to be more to come on this, but I hope you can just feel the energy of what just transpired this trip.
When did you get to spend any time? I mean, every picture is like with gaggles of children. It's almost like you're like, you know, I can surely understand their enthusiasm to swarm around you. I want to swarm around you, knowing you all these years. But did you get to spend any time one-on-one, getting to know,
Yeah, when I interviewed them, it was very personal. They all, instead of just being on their own on camera, they wanted to just be there with me. So I know it sounds funny that it was on camera, and I did do some one-on-one with them, but they do a lot of things in groups. So I would sit around them, and some of them would ask me questions about how I deal with stress. You know, I played badminton with them. If I was just sitting in the middle of the courtyard, they would come up and ask me questions. And you're not going to believe this. We got loud music rocking the orphanage right before I was leaving to get on the plane.
No, I believe that because I know you so well.
Yeah, we were rocking out. Like, we were all dancing with speakers going. They were like screaming at the end. Oh my God, I miss these kids. I wish I could teleport there right now.
Eventually I want to make sure we understand the needs of these children, of this, of the CEC, and also how we can help. But, and maybe we make sure that we get to that at the end, but what do you think that they, like, for instance, your own son, like, what do you think is the appropriate, you know, when will you bring him? When will you mix the children, and what will that bring each side of the equation?
Well, my son has sensory issues. And so essentially he, I think, is going to need to, when I say sensory issues, he has troubles with different foods. He's the furthest he's ever traveled is 5 or 6 months. My son's doing Kung Flo, which he's really, with a whole nother podcast. He's really coming a long way. And so I don't want to say never, but he's not ready yet. Well, and so I think that the way he learns about what mom does is through pictures. And then Llama's going to be coming here again this year, and he'll see Llama again. So my son's very immersed in understanding his level of privilege, and that mom and he are supposed to do good things in the world. So I keep it very simple with him, because he still needs me. He doesn't want to think, oh, my mom just cares about the kid, all the other kids in the world. So I have to be the mom that he needs, and then talk about how important it is to give to others.
Right. No, that's an important, there's so many important themes that you hit upon in that. And one of them is that, you know, our children sometimes don't understand the privilege that they have. And it's important for them to reach out and share that privilege and make an impact.
Yes. And so the one thing I want to say about that is, you know, kids, when they're little, how do we teach children how to give to others? Right. And so when he was super little, I would have baggies of change, like with quarters, a big baggie that might have been, I don't know, $10, $15. And we wouldn't do this all the time. I just wanted him to connect. So probably under a handful of times, maybe even 10 times, we would find a homeless person, whether we were on a vacation or in LA or something, and we would hand them a bag of change. And then Kieran then connected that some people don't have a home. And so I made it very concrete for him, and he got a little bit afraid. He actually said to me one night, cause he knows I'm so giving, like right before bed, he's like, please don't give away all of our money.
Right. He's a little guy. You know, he probably understand better now that you weren't going to do
so
that.
He's so cute. He's like, we want to still have a home, Mom, but he's very compassionate. Like around Thanksgiving, he's like, Mom, I'm so grateful we have a home. So it's like, even though he has nice things and we, you know, very educated, very privileged child, I want to make sure he realizes that there's a greater world and universe. And so, by the way, I talk and lead by example, but for him to, you know, whether it's even here in the U.S., we could go and obviously give food or, you know, there's different ways, but I think going to India someday would be fantastic with him.
Yeah. I fantasize about bringing my own children there too, you know. I think it would just be life altering for them.
Well, I think if Kieran went with other kids and he could still, I mean, if he went to the CD house, they're going to put him on their whole routine. Mm-hmm. And so Kieran's a little bit intimidated by that. He told me he said yes to Lama Tenzin in person last December. But then
I remember that I was there.
Big brown like, Mom, no, I can't do that. I can't have the food. Oh, and then, by the way, I did, this is a funny way to end this. I did end up getting stomach sick because of being in the unchlorinated pool. But I also, and probably the raw vegetables I ate too, which was a mistake because I forgot that I wasn't supposed to do that. So Kieran, when I heard Kieran said to me, he's like, Mom, see, another reason why I shouldn't go.
Oh boy.
He's like, how is that stomach ache feeling for you? He's like a little attorney in training. He'll remember right. The one line. I'll tell him like the whole trip was fantastic, and then he'll be like, remember, you almost da 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 da.
And you had to eat crackers and water when you got home for a couple of days.
Yes. And bananas only, and I had to change a patient day. And so he like when he's like tells people Mom went to India, now all he saw is and then my mom got sick.
Well, he didn't see all the heartwarming moments either. He just saw them via picture. He saw you eating crackers and hot tea.
He didn't even have the attention span yet to look through the pictures because, to be honest with you, I'm going to wait because I'm really reconnecting with him, with his martial arts and Kung Flo and all these other exciting things. He needs me to be his mom. So what I'm going to do from a timing standpoint, I think this is important for all parents, is when we want to make points to our children, we want to show them what we've done at a time when they can best receive it. And I think timing-wise, in about 2 to 3 weeks, I can show them a little more of the pictures. Because I think, I don't want them to be jealous because it was a big time chunk away, and I want to make sure I'm being the attentive mom he needs.
Is this you playing badminton in a, that's a fun photo. In a dress. In a beautiful dress.
Yes. I roll fashion. Yep. I'm very into fashion, even if I'm playing sports sometimes.
I think you were just touring around, and then all of a sudden a racket got in your hand, and there you go, and you were off.
Yeah. So this is probably a great place to just say, like, I feel like I learned so much more from the children than I gave them, and I just want to thank Lama Chagall. I will link up his vision and mission when we launch this podcast so people can know more about him.
And how and then to donate. I mean, it's as easy as Googling Lama Tenzin, T-E-N-Z-I-N. I found it and I can donate.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Well, welcome back. And the photos are beautiful. We can't wait to thumb through them.